Good afternoon, everybody. Chairman Bob Webb is out of the country, and so I will chair this meeting. Before we take roll call, this is a unique time in my short time on the board, and that we do have a full board, although all members aren't here at the moment, but we have a full board that's been appointed. And before we do take the roll call, I'd like each member of the board, old and new, kind of identify themselves, tell you who you are, where you're from, what you do for a living, and that type of thing, to make everybody familiar with these. And I'll start off here, and then we'll work our way to Joe there. I am an EIU graduate. I'm a retired coach, teacher, and principal at Mount Olive High School. President of our local schools foundation for 16 years, the only president, and a little town of 2,300, I'm very happy to say that we have given over $440,000 of grant money to the schools at that in that small town. I was reluctant to mention this, but with all the Northern Illinois board members that we just got reappointed, but I also for over 20 years been a Cardinal Scout. And as I said, I was reluctant to say that, but heck with that, we're world champions, so I thought I could say what I want to say now. If we would have lost, I probably had to stand mute. But I welcome all the new board members. It's a wonderful board. It's a wonderful university. We all have the best of the university in mind here. So we'll go to Mr. Dively over here, one of the newest board members. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. My name is Joe Dively. I'm proud to say I'm a townie. I was born and raised in Charleston, Illinois, and all but 10 years of my life I've lived here in Charleston. One of the great things about moving back to our hometown was being able to serve Eastern Illinois University in a variety of ways, with the Alumni Association and the Business School Advisory Board on the Foundation Panther Club. And it's just been a real honor to serve EIU in those roles, and I'm very excited to join the Board of Trustees. I work for First Mid-Illinois Bank and Trust, and prior to that spent 20 years with Consolidated Communications.
Thank you. So,
it's Renee Hutchinson, graduate of EIU in 1974, past president of the Alumni Association, currently work for Allstate Insurance Company in the compliance/privacy area, been working for Allstate approximately 30 years. And it's going to be an honor to serve on the board along with all these fine members. Thank you.
Hey, Jared.
Jared Shirley. I have served as the student trustee since July 1 of this year. I grew up in southern Illinois, a little town called Redbud, contrary to Rosebud, as the press release said. I graduated from Eastern with a degree in finance this past May, and I'm currently working on my MBA and set to graduate May 2013. And I just want to say welcome to the new board members.
Contrary to press reports, I am Christopher Getz, not Kevin. I was born and raised in Springfield, Illinois. I am a son of a mother and father who both attended EIU. I am an EIU graduate in 1998 and a graduate degree in 2000. My wife also has an undergraduate degree from EIU and also has an MBA from EIU, so it's in our lineage. I currently live in Lombard, Illinois, a western suburb of Chicago. I work at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in the Streeterville neighborhood, where I am the operations director in patient care. I have three small children, 5-year-old Haley, 3-year-old Madison, and 15-day-old Caitlin.
Hmm. Thank you.
Leo Welch, Professor Emeritus of Biological Sciences at Southwestern Illinois College in Belleville. Originally from Mattoon, I hold a bachelor's and master's degree from Eastern Illinois, and also a former student of Dr. Wesley Whiteside, which we'll be hearing about later today. And again, as indicated, welcome to the new board members. I'm sure you will serve the institution well. Thank you.
Thank you, Leo. Okay, I think that's it. We'll take roll call now, Judy.
Mr. Dano, Mr. Dively.
Here.
Mr. Getz.
Here.
Mr. Hutchinson.
Here.
Mr. Cradaville.
Here.
Mr. Shirley.
Here.
Dr. Webb. Mr. Welsh.
Here.
I'm also happy for the new board members, too, that I don't have to vote first on every motion. So I've now been blended into the middle someplace, so that's kind of nice. I need a motion here from Mr. Welch.
I move that the board convene an executive session to consider collective negotiating matters as permitted by Section 2C2 of the Open Meetings Act and pending probable or imminent litigation as permitted by Section 2C11 of the Open Meetings Act and executive session minutes as permitted by Section 2C21 of the Open Meetings Act. I so move.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. Do you need a second?
Seconded.
Second. Any questions? Roll call vote.
Mr. Dively.
Yes.
Mr. Getz.
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson.
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Welch.
Yes.
Okay, we're going into executive session. Okay, we're back in open session now. Before we go to the action items, I'd just like to mention something for benefit of all, that the procedure for action items is the presentation is made by one of the vice presidents or the president on this motion, and then we make a motion, and then a second, and then a discussion, and then a roll call vote in that order. So we'll know so we don't get discussion before, you know, get before, because and then I'll have to stop you. So first thing, I'll turn over to Brad and get the election for action item A.
Okay. Well, we need to fill the position previously held by Mr. O'Rourke, the position of secretary. And at this time, I would entertain any motions, nominations for secretary.
I'd like to nominate Leo Welch.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Are there any other nominations for secretary? Hearing none, nominations are closed. And each of you were handed a little white sheet of paper, and you should indicate your vote on the nomination, and then we'll collect those as you do that. Secretary is elected by secret ballot pursuant to statute. Mr. Leo Welch has been elected secretary.
Thank you very much for your support.
The other position of pro tem take care of in January. We'll have some time to think about it, and we'll do that at the January. Okay, we go to item B in the action items, which would be approval of minutes. And have anything to say about that except a motion? People have seen the minutes.
I move that we approve the minutes of the September 16th, 2011 board meeting.
Second.
Seconded.
Second. Okay, you got a second? Discussion?
I'm not sure I feel qualified to vote. I wasn't present. I'm ignorant of the process. I wasn't in attendance, so...
Yeah. I guess either
vote.
Yeah. Whatever.
Mr. Dively.
Yes.
Mr. Getz.
Abstain.
Mr. Hutchinson.
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Welch.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, item C, executive session minutes. Do we have anything on that at all?
They were reviewed pursuant to statute, and I believe no act.
Okay.
No actions to be taken at this
no
time.
No action to be taken at this time, then. Okay, very good. Now, D, real property gift acquisition. Who's going to take care of that? Okay. President Perry.
Well, it's my pleasure today to bring before the board an exceptional opportunity for the university in terms of a gift acquisition. And I will bring introductory remarks, and then I will hand the floor over to Mr. Martin, who will review for you the addendum that you are receiving now, and some words about that. One of the first people that I met, in fact, Linda and I both met when we moved here, actually before Linda moved here and I had moved here, was Dr. Wesley Whiteside, and we had gone out to his home and garden, and I can't remember whether it was I think it was Art in the Garden. I think that's what it was, and met this gentleman there who had developed this wonderful botanical garden. Became instant friends, and he became an instant advisor to Linda on matters botanical. So I wanted to say a few words about Wes. Dr. Wesley Whiteside is an emeritus faculty member of the botany department at Eastern Illinois University. He served from 1960 to 1987. During that time, he taught many, many students with kind and caring concern in subjects such as general botany, local flora, plant taxonomy, plant morphology, and mycology, that is, mushrooms and fungus. Wes also is an active daylily breeder and has released at least four late-blooming cultivars. He started his garden in 1963, and it gradually worked towards its current five-acre size that includes hundreds of unique species. Dr. Whiteside's wealth of knowledge is not limited to his property, but also includes the history of many of the early plantings of trees on the EIU campus. His knowledge of the unique plant species, native and exotic alike, that are rarely found in nature or other Midwest botanical garden, natural or other Midwest botanical gardens, really is of immeasurable value to the university and its students and faculty. The Whiteside Garden is unmatched as a local botanical resource for education and research. Currently, the Whiteside Garden is used as a resource by students, researchers, and a variety of organizations. Some local organizations which regularly use or visit the Whiteside Garden include, of course, Eastern Illinois University, Lakeland College, the Coles County Historical Society for the Garden Ramble, the Coles County Arts Council for Art in the Garden, and the Coles County Master Gardeners. Wes is loved and admired by his students and gardeners throughout the region. This really is a unique, living, cultural, and historical treasure that must be preserved and maintained for the use by future generations, and EIU stands to be in the position to do that preservation and maintenance. Dr. Whiteside, would you please stand for a moment so we can recognize your generosity and service to the university? Thank you very much. When you're a teacher, your impact goes on forever. And just one example of the impact of Dr. Whiteside is Leo Welch, who's, as you heard earlier, not only a member of our Board of Trustees and having tremendous impact on EIU now in that way, but he's been he's a scientist, he's a professor of biology, and was a former student of Dr. Whiteside. And I didn't know, Mr. Welch, if you'd like, as point of privilege, to say a couple of words.
Certainly. First of all, thank you very much, Dr. Whiteside. I know that the students and the faculty, as well as the community, will, as indicated, enjoy this work that you've put in on the garden. I know it's extremely important from the standpoint of botanical preservation, and you've made a major contribution to this effort. I would like to comment that as an undergraduate student, as is indicated, I had you for a course, And I understood then of your passion for your subject and your commitment to the students. It helped make me a biologist. And for that matter, I was certainly impressed and appreciate the education I received at Eastern, especially from the biological sciences, including zoology and botany. I was a major and then a minor in those fields. And Eastern indeed put me on the path of continuing my education as well as serving as a faculty member in the Biological Science Department at Southwestern. I also followed the pattern that was set for me at Eastern by making commitments to field courses for students. So I initiated, when I started at Southwestern, a field ecology course. And much of the inspiration for that was based on my educational background at Eastern. So that pattern was set and influenced my career. And you and others certainly were a portion of that direction. So thank you very much.
Now I'll turn the microphone to Mr. Martin to turn to the more businesslike aspects of this real property gift acquisition.
Thank you, President Perry. Referring to the addendum on real property gift acquisition, for action item 4, the donor agrees to make a testamentary disposition by which the successor trustee of the Wesley C. Whiteside 1999 Declaration of Trust will convey to the Board of Trustees of Eastern Illinois University the following described real estate. And you can read that below. And it is recommended on the next slide over, it is recommended that the Board of Trustees approve this acceptance of the Wesley Whiteside Botanical Gardens.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Need a motion to welcome a motion?
So move.
So moved by Mr. Welch. Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Hutchinson. Discussion?
Yes, sir. Mr. Cradiville, by way of discussion, I would like to mention that graduate and undergraduate students in the field of biological sciences will have the opportunity to do research and community outreach at this living laboratory, these botanical gardens. Graduate students will have internship and thesis opportunities focused on their research at the Whiteside Botanical Gardens. Part of the property is a farmland, and that farmland portion can be rented as for cash crops or utilized for research and growing select crops for our renewable energy center for testing. There are many, many uses of the land, but the main focus of this is that wonderful botanical garden treasure that Dr. Whiteside has developed over many years. The Biological Sciences Department plan is for this property to be an educational research and outreach facility for Eastern Illinois University.
Any other? Roll call.
Mr. Dively.
Yes.
Mr. Getz.
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson.
Yes.
Mr. Cradiville.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Mr. Welch.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay, item E on the agenda. Mr. Weber.
Hey, thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. Purchases of $250,000 or more required Board of Trustees approval, and we have one such action item for you today. The item you have in front of you calls for the demolition and replacement of the existing running track and the existing synthetic turf football field at O'Brien Stadium. Also part of the project, the visitor bleachers will be modified to allow track events to be moved to the exterior of the track, and there are also some electrical upgrades as a part of this project. The low bids for the project, the recommended vendors, Hellas Construction out of Austin, Texas as the general contractor, and Anderson Electric from Mattoon, Illinois as the electrical contractor. The source of funds is a combination of local and income funds. Part of the project will be funded from campus improvement fees from last year that have lapsed into our income fund this year. And then the other significant source of funds is from carryover income funds from last fiscal year that have, again, carried over into this fiscal year. And so at this time, I request that the Board of Trustees approve this purchase item.
Motion.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Dively, second.
Seconded.
Okay, Mr. Shirley, seconded. Okay, discussion. I might add before the discussion, though, that this had been discussed pretty thoroughly this morning in the executive board and planning session. So we went through a lot of details and questions from the board members with this. So it had been covered pretty thoroughly. Okay. Any other questions or comments from anybody? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Dively?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Okay. Item F, appropriated income funds budget increase. Mr. Weber again.
Yes, thank you very much. This is a rather unusual action item for the board because in most years we do not carry forward any significant amounts of appropriated funds. However, with the cash flow situation from the state of Illinois regarding our appropriations and the way we have managed that cash flow situation, we do have this year some significant carryover funds from the previous fiscal year. Again, these funds are one-time monies available this year, and they resulted from essentially our restraint on spending as we manage the cash flow situation. And so we are asking the board to approve a modification to the fiscal year 2012 budget that you approved back in June and to allow us to spend these carry forward funds in the amount of about $3.2 million. And so at this time, I request the board to approve this increase in our appropriated income funds budget.
Okay, welcome a motion. Like to make that?
So moved.
Okay, second.
Second.
Mr. Dively. Okay, discussion. Who made the second?
Welch.
Oh, Mr. Welch. Okay. Matter of record. Okay, questions, comments, anybody? Like to ask Mr. Weber any questions? Okay, roll call vote.
Mr. Dively?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Okay, I think this ends our action items. Now we go to our information items, which will start with the President's report.
Thank you, Mr. Cradaville. I'd like to ask Blair Lord to make an introduction here. We have a significant recognition for one of our faculty members, and so Dr. Lord, will you take the floor, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I am actually going to defer to Dean Bonnie Irwin, and as I explain why, she can take the podium. This year, we have a unique announcement for Eastern regarding a significant national award received by one of our faculty. Dean Irwin is a colleague of his, and she also helped mentor and sort of orchestrate the application process. So I would like to yield the floor to Dean Irwin to explain this award.
Yesterday at lunch in Washington, D.C., Professor David Rabin of our English department, a 30-year veteran of EIU, was named the Illinois State Professor of the Year. This is the first award of this kind that has been awarded to Eastern Illinois University. I'm going to give you just a little bit of a background on the award and David, but I'm going to defer some of it to January because I have asked the President's indulgence to come back to you in January. Because David is in Washington, he was not able to be here today, and so we would like him to come and talk to you a bit in January. But the award is given by the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching and the Council for Advancement of Support of Undergraduate Education. About 3 years ago, a very good friend of mine won Professor of the Year in the state of North Carolina. And I ran into the provost's office and said, do we nominate people for this award? And he said, well, we'd been talking about it, but we hadn't done it. And so my fellow deans and I decided that needed to end, because if it's a teaching award, our faculty are absolutely competitive for this. And so we've been nominating people for about 3 years, and this is actually the second time I've nominated David. And that tells you a little bit how competitive this is. This year, 300 people were nominated, and 27 awards were given. And so, you know, 1 in 10 chance at best here. And I'm very proud that David has won this award. The award is based on 4 criteria: the impact on and involvement with undergraduate students. David is an amazing teacher. He's won just about every award that Eastern has to offer in the field of teaching, as well as 9 of our achievement and contribution awards over the last 20, 30 years. One also has to demonstrate a scholarly approach to teaching and contributions to undergraduate education, not only at the institution, but also in the community and to the profession. This is where David truly excels. He's not only a classroom teacher, but he's very generous with his colleagues. When I first approached him about nominating him for this award, he immediately started brainstorming which of his colleagues I should nominate instead of him. And that is sort of a sign of David's humility and his desire to bring others up. He also has organized our literature conference for high school teachers for 20 years. And he has done NEH, National Endowment of the Humanities, seminars for high school and college teachers to teach Chaucer, which is his field. And I'm just going to read to you a very brief quotation from both David and then one of the teachers that has taken one of his classes. David began his personal statement for this award saying that, as I walked into my first college classroom in August 1981, I felt like a child who had been given the key to a candy store. The room was filled with possibilities, and everyone promised to be good. And I would say 30 years later, he still brings that same passion and enjoyment to his teaching, which is why our students love him. But one of the teachers who took his summer institute said that the other teachers with whom she had studied to get her degrees at other universities were absolute about literature. The only interpretation was theirs. So when I taught Tough Works, I followed suit, bombarding my students with multiple choice tests and formulaic papers. Through Dr. Rabin's exemplary style, I became confident that regardless of previous scholarly scrutiny, new possibilities and applications abound. I have taken the same optimism David Rabin instilled in me and fostered it in my students. With Dr. Rabin metaphorically by my side, instead of leading my students down the path to enlightenment, as I once imagined I did, we now journey together, and that has made all the difference. I could stand up here for an hour, but I'm not going to, because there are many wonderful things to say about David. But I would just add that I am very proud that our first recipient of this award has come from my home department and my college, but I am going to dare to speak for my fellow deans and tell you that David Rabin will not be the last EIU faculty member to receive this award. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. It's indeed a great honor for the university, and just another point of making us all proud that we're part of it.
You know, when I hear about long-term faculty who started in 1981 and I started in 1971, it makes me feel a little old. But I'm very proud, too, as well. And if you look at our website, this notification, this news is the first picture you'll see. So people from all over who consult our website, whether they're prospective students or prospective faculty or just people interested in Eastern Illinois University will see the quality of the faculty we have. Mr. Chairman, I just have a brief mid-year report, mid-fiscal year report of things that have been happening at Eastern. Most of these are well known, and there's a lot of detail out on the web or in the media. So I will just go through this as a bullet point list. First of all, our U.S. news ranking moved up a couple of ticks this year. We're number 12 in the Midwest among master's comprehensive universities. So out of that 12-state region, we're number 12 among the publics, and that's very good standing. The campaign for Eastern is moving along briskly. It's about a year and a half ahead of pace, and you already heard earlier today that we are at about 93% of our financial goal, but we're also meeting more alumni. We've increased our number of alumni contacts. We've increased the number of alumni volunteers, and those parts of the campaign are going very well as the financial part. You know that the Renewable Energy Center opened on October 7th. It had actually been in operation for a couple of months before that. We had hundreds of people from the community. We had speakers from Honeywell, from USDA, and Illinois EPA, all celebrating the replacement of an old steam plant that was on the verge of breaking down with a steam plant powered by biomass. It's environmentally very, very friendly and is driving our research, teaching, and public service here in not only eastern Illinois, but more broadly in the country, as we have made presentations all over the country on this effort. The strategic plan, the collaborative strategic planning effort, has moved forward very briskly and according to plan under the direction of Vice President Weber. In January, the board will receive a first reading of the strategic plan, and then we will come back in March after doing any tweaks the board sees as necessary for final endorsement of the strategic plan. I would mention that the strategic planning process has really been from the ground up, and I know this for a fact because in one of the open sessions the other day, Bill Weber said, one of the participants said, gee, don't we need a little more top-down on this? And so I think that shows that we've succeeded in a very good process and a lot of buy-in along the way. I would also mention that the strategic plan is done in the context of other existing plans. We did a campus master plan the year before and a landscape master plan as well. So these pieces will fit together like hand in glove. Since there's three of them, hand in glove, perhaps. So I think you'll be pleased to see how all that fits together. In terms of student community service, we believe we will this year reach our goal a year early of 100,000 hours of student community service and of doubling our number of students involved in community service from 4,000 to 8,000. In terms of accreditations of our programs, we've been very successful in the past year. For teacher education, we had our NCATE accreditation, a very strong review there. The American Association of Colleges and Schools of Business, both our School of Business and our accounting program accredited, and that puts you in the top 5% in the world. Our School of Technology received an accreditation visit and passed with flying colors there. Our Department of Chemistry as well for its undergraduate programs, and also intercollegiate athletics. Our NCAA recertification went very, very well indeed. In terms of enrollment, 10 years ago, our enrollment was about 10-5. The provost was hired, and one of his jobs was to raise the enrollment, which he did, up to 12,300 or so. We realized that was a little large. There was a study done in the university. The optimal size for the university, given the facilities and so forth, was judged to be 11,600 to 11,800. Right now, we're at about 11,200. We're a little below optimum, what we're doing is working with a consultant and making changes ourselves in terms of our approach, in terms of enrollment, management, recruiting, and so forth, the granting of financial aid, and we plan then through all these efforts to get back into that sweet spot within a year or two. As you heard earlier, the state still does owe us some money, but the comptroller has consistently said that we will get it by the end of the calendar year. We are being treated the same as every other university in a proportional sense. We're not being singled out, and I believe we will receive that money just as we did last year, just as the comptroller before said it would happen. On the horizon in the spring, the General Assembly will be in session. And there are three big issues for us. One is just plain budget. It's a big issue for everybody. How much general revenue appropriation will we have? How will performance-based funding play itself out in terms of our fiscal 13 funding? Second is the pension system, state university retirement system in particular, but overall all pensions in Illinois and the effect of that on the overall budget and the kind of benefit changes that might be attempted. Those are huge issues for us, not only financially, but in terms of recruitment and retention of faculty and staff to the university. And then third, to continue to press for the priority of our science building funding to move up. We've been working on this already with visits from legislators, visit from the executive director of the Illinois Board of Higher Education, and the student action team is involved in this. We'll be pressing that case very strongly in the spring as well. That concludes a very brief mid-year report. Things are going very well for us. We're working very hard on the future, and I believe you're going to see at the end of the year, this coming summer, when we meet to review the year and look at the coming year, I think you'll be pleased with the results that we have. I know that some of you are very well versed in many of these issues, for instance, Mr. Welsh, in terms of the pension issues and so forth. I'd be glad to have any member of the board bring anything to the attention of our meeting today about any of these issues.
Thank you, Dr. Perry.
Just a comment on the pension issues. The Senate Bill 12, as amended, in the veto session this fall, it came out of committee with a vote of 5-4, but it was not called in the House. There is apparently some reconsideration about strategies involving the Civic Club in Chicago to sort of back off on their position, at least based on a news report, and consider some alternatives to Senate Bill 512. So I think there is cautious optimism on some type, and this is definitely hypothetical, some type of reevaluation, reinvestigation, reassessing what has been proposed by the original Senate Bill 512. We look, as Dr. Perry mentioned, I'm specifically involved with this issue. I serve as the president of the State University Annuitants Association. So we have meetings scheduled in the next couple of weeks, and I am going to have to leave today. I have a meeting in Chicago this evening on the pension issue to look at possible alternatives. So the only thing I can say is this needs to be monitored very closely. I'm sure you will get information as it comes to you about the impact of this. As I mentioned earlier today, the public universities, community colleges, employees under SURS, the issue remains, would the original type of bill that was proposed impact recruitment, retention of what we want to be the best and the brightest? So that is an issue facing the state of Illinois, like many associated with the current economic status that we are in as a state. So those types of deliberations, I hope, will take a more positive view than the division that has been exhibited so far. And so we can look forward, hopefully, to additional ways of dealing with what has been labeled the pension crisis. So with that, I will excuse myself today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Leo. And thank you, Dr. Perry. Always enjoy listening to your positive reports. Of course, we all could walk a little bit taller after we hear the positive things going on at Eastern. Okay, moving on to the next item. We have the report from the board chair. And at this time, we're all familiar that we have two former board members who have retired from the board. And I need to read two commendations, for one for each one of them, in respect and in honor of all their time that they served with the university. The first one's for Julie I. Nimmons. Whereas Julie I. Nimmons has devoted her career to bettering society as an exemplary educator, businesswoman, and community servant, while generously supporting Eastern Illinois University in its educational ventures. And whereas Miss Nimmons, having received her bachelor's degree in music from Eastern, taught elementary music and directed the junior high and high school choruses for Piasol Southwestern District 9, and whereas her subsequent association with Chut Manufacturing Group led to a highly successful business career, and whereas despite that busy career, Ms. Nimmons continued to generously give of her time and talents, contributing to her local community and causes further afield, including service to the Litchfield, Illinois City Planning Commission, the Lincoln Land Community College Business Advisory Board, the National Athletic Trainers Association, Research and Education Foundation Board of Directors, the State of Illinois Governor's Council on Health and Education Fitness, and the Illinois State Board of Trustees for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And whereas Ms. Nimmons has been a highly valued member of the EIU Board of Trustees from 2001 to 2011, a time period that included such campus milestones as the planning and construction of the Renewable Energy Center, the construction of the Lewis M. Gatto Building, which houses Eastern's textbook rental service, the rededication of Blair Hall, the completion of the Doudna Fine Arts Center, renovation, expansion, and the creation of a new nursing program. And whereas Ms. Nimmons has been instrumental in the outstanding success of the $50 million Expect Greatness capital campaign, now underway, serving as its enthusiastic and highly effective chairwoman. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the members of the Eastern Illinois University Board of Trustees, along with the university's administration, faculty, and staff, do hereby express their utmost gratitude to Ms. Julie I. Nimmons for her dedicated service to Eastern Illinois University and the people of Illinois, and do hereby thank her for her past, present, and future service to the university and the community at large. I think we need to give her a hand, please. When Leo and I and Bob first came onto the board, she was the vice chairman of the board. So even though she looked younger, she was here longer. So, commendation presented to William G. O'Rourke. Whereas William G. O'Rourke has devoted his career to public service while generously supporting Eastern Illinois University in its educational ventures, and whereas Mr. O'Rourke, having received his bachelor's degree in political science from Eastern, worked in various managerial roles for the Illinois Secretary of State's office, Sangamon County, and the City of Springfield, and whereas despite a busy career, Mr. O'Rourke continued to generously give of his time and talents, contributed to many services and civic organizations, including the American Business Club, United Cerebral Palsy, the Elks Club, Knights of Columbus, Friends Indeed, and Ronald McDonald House. And whereas Mr. O'Rourke has continued to support his alma mater over the years, being actively involved in the Springfield chapter of the EIU Alumni Association and other related activities, and having shared his talents and resources with the EIU Athletic Department and serving on the Panther Club Board of Directors. And whereas Mr. O'Rourke has been a highly valued member of the EIU Board of Trustees from 2005 to 2011, a time period that included such campus milestones as the planning and construction of the Renewable Energy Center and its companion Campus Energy Improvement Program, the construction of the Dr. Lewis M. Gatto Building, which houses Eastern's textbook rental service, the completion of the Doudna Fine Arts Center renovation and expansion, and the creation of a new nursing program. Now, Therefore, be it resolved that the members of the Eastern Illinois University Board of Trustees, along with the university's administration, faculty, and staff, do hereby express their utmost gratitude to Mr. William G. O'Rourke for his dedicated service to Eastern Illinois University and the people of Illinois, and do hereby thank him for his past, present, and future service to the university and the community at large. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Cradiville, I will deliver framed copies of the resolution to Ms. Nimmons and Mr. O'Rourke at a later date. I've spoken with both of them, and we're in the process of setting up those dates.
Thank you, Doug. The next is the committee reports. This kind of narrows it down since I'm have to give both of them here. The Executive Planning Committee met this morning, a very thorough, long meeting, longer than usual. We talked about everything. We had reports from all the vice presidents and the heads of different departments, and we discussed that very thoroughly and covered. And a lot of it was, of course, to get the new members up to stuff here as far as what's going on at the university. And they had some great questions to ask, and that's what we want to happen, to find out what's going on, to ask questions. So that's basically what the whole thing dealt with. And as I said earlier, we did discuss the track amendment or the resolution very thoroughly, went into details on that, so we were sure of that. And also on the Finance and Audit Committee, which is the other one, that was discussed there, and the budget overview and update and strategic planning were all discussed. And obviously, in the light of finances, with the state the way they are, we're not sure what we're getting sometimes and what we're not getting sometimes, and it's sort of a crapshoot at times. But we just got to hope for the best, and we're all very proud of this university, and we'll just keep it moving forward, and as we're doing now. So thank you for those reports. Okay, moving on, Alumni Association report. Is Mr. Hugh O'Hare here?
Yes.
Okay, Alumni Association.
Now, Hugh, would you introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, and a little bit of your background,
sure,
as well as the report. And thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. My name's Hugh O'Hara. I'm a graduate of the class 2001 and 2002. Actually, last presented to this board 10 years ago, I think. I was student body president at the time, so a slightly different report today. Live in the Joliet area and work for an association of 31 mayors, so if I accidentally call any of you board members mayors, it happens. Also, I apologize that you now have two former association presidents on your board. Good luck with them.
We'll get through it.
The Alumni Association, for any of you that don't know, was founded in 1905. We're governed by a 21-member board, and we manage more than $2 million in assets. That includes the real estate, the two houses that we have just off of 4th Street there, as well as our investments. In terms of how we deal with the university, we regularly communicate with President Perry, Vice President Martin. Roger Cradiville comes to many of our board meetings and explains to us what's going on with the board, and we let him know what we think is important from the alumni's perspective. And so there's real good communication going back and forth between both groups. We do a lot of outreach, as you can imagine. We try to hold between 35 and 40 events each year. This past year, we've had quite a few popular ones. We have an annual Cubs game. They go to some type of baseball game in St. Louis. Somehow the South Side gets left out, but that's all right. I'm a Cubs fan. It happens. We do the Black Student Reunion this year. And I believe the past couple of years we've done a cheer team reunion at homecoming. I know they do a performance at halftime of the game. This year we also had a very good turnout for the pregame tailgate at the Eastern Northwestern football game. In 2010, we had met and had different interactions with 2,100 different alumni. Last year, 2011, that number grew to 4,900 alumni. So the outreach continues to expand from both the association and then the alumni services staff here at the university. We also continue to publish the Eastern Illinois Alumni Magazine. It used to be called Old Mainline. We changed the name of that a couple years ago. And that goes to all the dues-paying members of the association. In addition to that, we send out an email every month to 34,000 alumni, and a good percentage of them actually open it, look at it, see what's going on here at the university. Scholarships and awards, we do the Alumni Awards Dinner every year at Homecoming. This year we gave out 9 Distinguished Alumni Awards. That was broken down. We had five Distinguished Alumni, 2 Alumni Service, 1 Educator, and 1 Outstanding Young Alumni. The association also awarded $5,000 in legacy scholarships to children of EIU grads this year. And some of you may know the association also selects the Livingston Lord Scholarship recipients. Those were $6,500 each this year, and that went to, if I can find it here, 5 or 6, I believe, students on campus. And let's see, where else? The association has been working very, very diligently the last few years to try and get current students involved so that they want to be a part of the association when they leave. Everybody has such positive views of Eastern. We don't want them to ever feel a disconnect. So we're looking at creating 25 outstanding senior type awards this year. The association and alumni services is working a lot on graduation, commencement. So it'll be a way to kind of involve the current students, get them interested in wanting to become members of the association. And then finally, in terms of financial support to the university, the association has an annual budget of $150,000, and a lot of that goes back to the university in terms of supporting events, different things on campus, programs we give to WEIU, Tarbell Arts Center, Panther Athletics, Student Life, and various academic departments each year get different funds from the Alumni Association. And then I'll have a couple board members who will be upset with me if I don't mention that we're always looking for a new facility. So we can add that to your very long list of needs. But they our two current the house that the Alumni Association is in now has definitely got some maintenance issues, which the university is kind enough to help us out with quite a bit. But they're always looking for something new. So just, like I said, add that to the very long list of needs you already have. But that was all I had, and if there's any questions.
I, as a board representative to the alumni, I always enjoy getting to those meetings. I enjoy talking to the people, and I have found in my own limited experience that it is a well-run organization, very communicative, you get out to the people, and I enjoy that. I like the communication, and thank you, Mr. Rich, for that. And I did mention that the Cardinals were world champions, didn't I? I don't know if I missed that or not.
I didn't hear it back there. I'm sorry.
Any questions from the board?
I had a comment.
Okay, great.
Hugh, thank you very much for the report, and we really appreciate the way the alumni have stepped up to the plate, as long as he was talking baseball here, have stepped up to the plate in terms of not only the campaign for Eastern, but everything you do to support us, developing reunions around focus groups or interest groups like the cheer teams, residence halls, and the RA reunion is one I remember in particular. So those kinds of creative ideas that you all are coming up with really, really are exciting to me. Appreciate very much your leadership and the efforts of everyone on the Alumni Association board.
And I know the board would like to take credit for that, but a lot of that does go to the Alumni Services staff. They've been great at coming up with new and creative ways to try and get people involved. So, thank
right,
you.
I agree 100%. Thank you.
I second it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next thing on the agenda is Earned Degrees Report.
There are a number of items for the board's information here. We have an Earned Degrees Report. For your information, the summer and fall 2011 enrollment report. We do not have reports from constituencies today. We do have summary of purchases ranging from $100,000 to $249,999, our fiscal 2012 deposit and investment report, and our fiscal 2011 income producing contracts. There's some detail there you may have some questions about, and if you do, if it's about earned degrees or enrollment, Provost Lord can answer those. If it's about summaries of purchases, deposits, and investments, or income-producing contracts. Dr. Weber can answer those.
Any questions? Dr. Weber, do you have anything to say in addition to what...
No, I don't think I could have done it any more concisely than President Perry did.
That covers it. Any questions from anybody? Any of these?
Mr. Cradiville, the university highlights are there for the information of the board, and, of course, the university newsletter is available on our web, and the board members can consult that at any time as well. So that information is there for your use.
Is there any other comments or anything anybody wants to add to this before we adjourn? If not, we stand adjourned.